The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Monday edition. Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ian Safar here with you. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rexrode, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Watched a lot of golf yesterday. I mean, not a lot, but for me, a lot of golf. So I just want you to know.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
Also did some working out, and Ian and I were both at the rec center in Owensville.
At the same time.
Cool. Yes.
Unbeknownst to each other.
Unbeknownst. Yeah, it found out today, but that's cool.
That is.
Had some art going on. Kids had a party.
Nice. Sure did. Yeah.
Very nice.
Hanging out in Joe's town.
Nice.
Hit up the, no free ads, but you know, we have the, very excited about the new place in town where you can get,
new shopping center.
You can get some burrito bowls or burritos type stuff, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Fancy pants.
Yeah, man. Oh, we're excited.
Nolensville, and just continuing to grow down there. Just continuing to expand.
Yeah. Please don't come. The traffic's already bad enough. Don't visit.
Please stay away.
Yeah.
Ian, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing just fine, thanks. Great weekend. Beautiful weather. But yep. No golf for me. How about the
disappointing.
This whole CBS Xfinity thing?
Yeah, it's not good.
That bit me in the behind.
I will say, like,
I got nothing.
I was at the Preds game Saturday, and, cool. 4 o'clock start. Love those. Got down for the third, in the third period, me and a couple other people,
work
we head
room.
Downstairs to the media workroom just so, we're close to the locker room, get all our stuff done. So I was like, there's like seven TVs down there, so I'll put most of them on the hockey game, but I'll fire one up and throw it on golf. I think the third round was coming to an end at that point. And there's Xfinity in the building downstairs. I was like, there's no golf on Channel 5. So I fired up the old Masters website and fired it up on the computer, but still I was just like, what are we doing here? Can we not get this figured out? I bet there are a lot of people that were mad yesterday that had Xfinity that could not watch the Masters, at least on their TV.
It's pretty rough.
I feel like every few weeks there's a new thing that disrupts someone's ability
to
watch a sporting event.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. How much we pay for all this stuff.
Right.
And we still can't get them.
And still.
Yeah.
I mean,
I probably could have just gone straight, found, unplugged it, and gone antenna.
Maybe.
But that means I got to, mess with a bunch of stuff. And it's like, I want to watch, but do I really want to watch that bad?
Right.
And then at that point, I have to only watch it on the TV. It's too nice to just sit there and watch golf when you got kids running around. I can put it on my phone, keep an AirPod in, kind of keep up with it, while I'm busy. But it's hard these days to just sit there and watch like that.
You know what I did yesterday? Scheffler teed off at 12:52 Central Time yesterday. I got my laptop out. I sat on my patio outside on my deck. And from 12:52 until the moment that tournament ended yesterday, that's where I was.
Yeah.
Like 5.5 consecutive hours just sitting there watching it.
So wait, were you watching the broadcast, or you watching the thing where you can watch just
him? I was watching the broadcast.
Okay.
Which I got some things to say about a little bit later in the show, by the way. But yes, I was watching the broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah, he he had a shot there. He had a couple there that
it was there for the taking.
Yeah, to at least maybe force a playoff, I guess, right?
Yes. It was, I mean, look, heading into the weekend.
I mean, he shot a 68.
Yeah. He's I mean, he was the first player. Scheffler was the first player since 1942 to shoot a bogey-free weekend at the Masters. It's pretty impressive.
That's pretty good.
Now, heading into the weekend, I thought the whole tournament was a dud. I mean, Rory had a six-shot lead after 36 holes, and it was like, well, I mean, it's the largest lead in the history of the tournament heading into the weekend. And then by the time Saturday came and went, he was blown. Like, it had been tied at that point. So I knew yesterday would be pretty good. Nobody really played great yesterday. And I think the conditions toward the end of it, the wind was swirling. Greens firmed up a little bit. It was hard to find people shooting birdies out there. Like, I mean, Rory yesterday shot even par on the last day of the tournament and won. It just doesn't happen very often where you can afford to shoot even par on the last day of the tournament. And you can win. But I will say, like...
But he also didn't take risks, right?
He didn't take risks.
That's what you can do.
He was smart. I thought he was screwed on 18 when it went in the woods. And he had no idea where that ball was. And luckily for him, he had kind of a lane there to get it back toward the green. But, you know, that's back-to-back Masters for him. That's major number 6 for him. So I think he tied Sir Nick Faldo yesterday for 6 majors. He is now firmly in the discussion as the greatest European player of all time, and I don't think he's done. Like, he's still playing pretty high level, so it's good stuff from Rory. I mean, he went from 17 years of not winning the Masters, including, by the way, during that stretch, some pretty rough performances at Augusta, to now he's won back-to-back Masters. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, four people ever. Nicklaus, Faldo,
Tiger, and him,
and now Rory.
Yeah, yeah. Back-to-back years. So. Congratulations to Rory. But, yeah, I hope if you were trying to watch on Xfinity yesterday, I guess you couldn't. So, that's a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, I can't keep up with all these. How long has this thing been going on?
I think a couple weeks now. A
couple weeks now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Towards the end of March,
yeah.
I believe.
So, you know, so when basically.
Luckily, the basketball game got switched.
Well, right. So, a lot of the later stuff goes to TBS, but still, like, you know, March in this time period, of course, you're talking NCAA tournament, and then you're talking the Masters. Basically, the peak of CBS, other than if they have the Super Bowl in a given year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Awesome.
Really?
I mean, screw the people who, you know. Are they your customers?
Well, and by the way, like, whenever this stuff gets up getting resolved, like, in some way or another, it always ends up affecting the consumer, right? Like, they end up having to pay more for something. So we'll see what that looks like.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, well, we got the deal figured out. You know, Paramount's going to cost you $55 a month now, but we figured it out. Yeah. There we go.
Congratulations.
Like, oh, thanks. Yeah. Appreciate that. So shout out to Rory for winning the Masters, and Scheffler came in second. So we'll see how it goes.
Still like $2.5 million.
Yeah, it's not a bad day.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Not a bad day. I mentioned the Predators. They got the win on Saturday against who in the heck did they play? Minnesota Wild on Saturday. Sorry, it was all running together there for a second. Minnesota did not play Joel Eriksson Ek. They did not play Matt Zuccarello. So some of their bigger names out of the line. They did play Quinn Hughes, and they did play Kirill Kaprizov, so it wasn't like they set everybody on Saturday, but they set down some of their big guns, including their captain, Jared Spurgeon. And the Predators did what they needed to do. They got the win. I thought, you know, they started off okay in that game. Second period, I thought they played pretty well in the game. And Steven Stamkos officially reaching the 40-goal mark for the Nashville Predators. So he hits that number. We'll see if Forsberg can also get to that number here in the next two games as they try to stay alive and close out the regular season. But pretty cool to see Steven Stamkos in a Nashville Predators uniform at the age of 36 hit that 40-goal mark on Saturday.
Good for him. What a tremendous last two-thirds of this season, about something like that, right? Yep. Around there. Like, just, I mean, if you sliced up the numbers, you know, right around there to the end, I mean, that's a, well, really, it's probably like a 50-goal pace, right, type season.
Probably.
I mean,
so.
Yeah. So tremendous from him, and Big response from them, staying alive. I mean, that's what it is at this point, staying in the thing and needing some help for those playing from those playing the Los Angeles Kings.
That is correct. And, you know, you look at this week, there is a chance. I mean, the Predators could be eliminated today, technically. I mean, if the Preds lose in regulation and the Kings win today,
And then they're done. I mean, they would the Predators would only be able to get to 88 points if they lose in regulation, and the Kings would then have 89. So you'd be done at that point. So, you know, we talked about it heading into the weekend. The Predators probably have to win all three. Well, now, I mean, they have to win all three. Like, they've got to win all these games and then hope that you get some help along the way. So they did the first step of that on Saturday by winning against Minnesota. And, I mean, if you look at it on the surface, Minnesota is definitely the toughest team that they're going to play. And now you've got San Jose, who you've absolutely dominated in the last 6 years, but this year as well. Like, you've played really well against the Sharks. And then you got Anaheim to close things out on Thursday. Now, I think Anaheim, technically, so Anaheim's at 90 points right now, which is the max that the Predators can get to. Technically, if Anaheim doesn't gain another point, LA could pass them, and you could end up getting in the playoffs over the Ducks. If they don't get another point. Now, they can't – I mean, they have to lose the next two in regulation. And obviously, one of those games is against you, so that the scheduling part of that helps. But, you know, I mentioned last week that you're going to be pulling heavily for the Vancouver Canucks as they take on the LA Kings. I'm trying to pull up Anaheim's schedule here, but if memory serves me correctly, I believe that the Ducks also play the Vancouver Canucks. No, they don't. They played the Vancouver Canucks yesterday. I'm an idiot. They play Minnesota. So Minnesota tomorrow is who the Anaheim Ducks play, and then they play Nashville here on Thursday. So Minnesota is on the road for the Ducks. Now Minnesota, I think, is also their fate got locked in on Saturday. So who are they going to be playing? Who are they resting? We just saw them rest guys the other day against the Predators. You know, do they start to look tomorrow and say, all right, well, Quinn Hughes, you just go ahead and sit down. And Kaprizov, you just go ahead and sit down. And I'm interested to see how John Hines kind of handles that, because they are heading to Dallas. It will be Dallas and Minnesota in the first round, and they got locked into that third spot on Saturday.
Yeah, so so one side will be desperate, well, possibly. And the other side is kind of like, you know, cruising into the playoffs. Doesn't mean they won't win the game, but very different mindsets. Speaking of Vancouver, they did win at San Jose, which screwed me in weekend winners. But just goes to show you. I mean, you know, they're capable. They've got they got the Kings coming in.
They've won two in a row.
There you go. Yeah. So, you know, that's that time of year.
It's that time of year. They got the Kings coming up tomorrow. I think Kings play Seattle tonight. So there you go. That's what the picture looks like for the Predators as we get into this week. We'll take your thoughts on the playoff picture for the Nashville Predators, and we will get into, I don't know, is it a goaltending controversy later in the show? Coming up here in just a few minutes as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
O'Reilly spins it down behind the net. Evangelista for Yossi. Cuts over to his left. From the left circle, the shot stopped. Rebound. Just fired a little bit wide. Comes back now on the right point again. Down to the trapezoid. Pinned there and trying to get free of it. Ryan O'Reilly giving off now for Evangelista. And it's tough for the score. Steven Stamkos. And the Predators take the lead.
The great Pete Weber on the call. Predators win the game on Saturday against Minnesota, and they got two more coming up this week to close out the regular season. They're against San Jose tonight at home, and close out the year at home on Thursday, taking on the Anaheim Ducks. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stamkos with a goal and an assist on Saturday. Like I said, 40 goals for him. That is the eighth, count them, eight times in his NHL career that he has reached the 40-goal mark.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Nah, too shabby.
One of those years there was 60 in there. There's also that. So, good to see him continuing the scoring here. We'll see if Forsberg can get to that number. If you're looking at the numbers, Anaheim a 93% chance to get in, according to Money Puck. L.A. at 80%. Predators at 26.3%. to get in. So I almost wonder if you're a Predators fan at this point, you know, what's the more realistic path? Is it LA losing a couple to Seattle, Vancouver, and or Calgary this week,
Or are you just being like, come on, Minnesota, tomorrow. Like, yeah. Minnesota beat Anaheim in regulation,
and then
you can get there. Because then you would need – I mean, you'd need L.A. to come through and pass Anaheim at that point, which I assume that they would. But if you're the Predators, you're at 28 regulation wins. Anaheim's at 25. So Anaheim cannot catch you on the regulation wins front. So if you could find a way to get to 90 and them stay at 90, you could get in. There's the math is heavily against the Nashville Predators right now, but I almost wonder if that's the more realistic path than L.A. dropping a couple this week.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it is, right? It's just you need one team to help you. So, and it's still a very good team. They the guys who are going to be on the ice for the Wild, they're still going to go out there and try to win, right? And it's a very good team. They'll probably rest some people, but you still like those chances better in one game than you do. I mean, I guess the Kings could lose the non-Vancouver game, so you know that's possible. But you know, I mean, the Kraken are out of it too, so they're just as hapless as the Canucks in terms of like having nothing to play for. They're just being a spoiler. They're obviously a better team. What's the last one for the Kings?
I believe it's Calgary.
Yeah, it's at Calgary. So they got these three on the road here. Yeah, so another, you know. Yeah, probably. Your best bet is if you get that help one time from a good team, and then you have a chance to do it yourself. If you win tonight, of course. That's all part of it.
You have to win the next two if you're the Nashville Predators. So I will admit, on Saturday, you know, they did not have a morning skate on Saturday. So, you know, it was a 4 o'clock game. So you knew that there wasn't going to be much. Like, you know, was Yossi going to play? It was good to see him get back out there on Saturday. So obviously nothing overly serious, but he was able to play. Said after the game that he felt good. So that was good to see on Saturday. But I was wondering, like, all right, you know, we've talked about it this week. Onanen just came off an unbelievable performance against Anaheim last week. Saros gets out there against Utah, and again, like, it wasn't really Saros' fault, but the result is what the result is. They lose the game. So I wondered, you know, would Onanen get a chance to get out there and play in a game that you've absolutely got to have on Saturday? Or do you look at it, I guess, more how I looked at it heading into the weekend? It's like, well, you're paying your goalie all this money. It's a must-win type of game. He's going to be the one that plays these last three here. Well, warm-ups come around on Saturday, and Justus Onanen starts just trotting his way on the ice. And I was like, oh, so they're going Onanen in this thing. And to his credit, like, I don't think he was overly tested in that game Saturday until the third period where Minnesota started to put on, you know, a decent push there in the third period. But he ends up giving up one goal in the game, and they win again. So, Joe, here you are today with another game that you have to win with Onanen, who has given up one goal in his last two starts. And I can't remember if it's 63 of his last 64, if it's 64 of his last 65. Either way, that's the amount of saves he's made in the last two games. So I was pretty – I wasn't stunned, but I was surprised that he got the game on Saturday against Minnesota, given the situation, given the contract, given the pedigree of UC Saros. So my question is, Joe, number one, what do you make of that? And number two, do you have to do it again tonight if you're the Nashville Predators with the way that he's played the last two games?
Well, Andrew Burnett put it out there. It's a meritocracy. Who's playing better? Like, I don't care about the big picture of, well, this should be our guy. Well, if that's the case, how do you not go with him again tonight? I think it's very simple. If you don't go with them tonight, that confuses me now. Other than, I guess, just trying to make sure both are really, really rested when they play type thing. But I don't see how the way he's played the last two games, you don't ride the hot hand. I think it's very simple. I fully expect him to be in goal tonight. And I understand, you know, I understand the there's bigger implications there, but I mean, at some point, if you have to win, you're trying to win. What gives you the best chance to win? That should be the only question.
I agree. I just – it's still kind of stunning to me that you're talking about a goalie that you've got 7 years left on the deal and you're paying all this money to, And I look, I understand how well Onan's played. You know, we've talked about that. But like this is why you pay your goalie like for these games, right? Like it's I think that's what again, I wasn't stunned because we talked about it last week. I think it was a legitimate decision that Andrew Burnett was going to have to make because of Onanen and how like Onanen played the best game of the year last Tuesday. Like full stop. The best game that we've seen a Predators goalie play. He played last Tuesday. But I just thought given the situation that, you know, this is why you pay a number one goalie. So now I'm kind of with you. Like he goes out, he plays really well in the game. He's obviously hot right now. Like he's not, you know, he's swallowing pucks. And Stamkos talked about it again the other night. He's like, you know, it gives you a lot of confidence when your goaltender is just totally swallowing the puck in there and not giving up any sort of rebound whatsoever. And, you know, I don't think he was taking any shots at Saros. I just think he's commenting on how well Onan's playing right now to the point where, like, if they do go with Saros tonight, it's like, okay, so why didn't you just start him on Saturday? Like, it's just it's an interesting spot for Andrew Burnett right now.
Right. You went with him, and you ended up being – like, he proved you right.
Yeah.
So don't – to me, there's no – you don't need – like, the information is clear right at this moment. And, I understand the bigger picture, but there are big picture questions about – Saros and you know I don't know this is interesting too I have no idea if this would be any sort of factor but you know your mind goes to like if Brunette like if it was a different situation and like Brunette knew he was going to be the coach next year would he be thinking any differently because there's a longer term ramification or is it like you know hey man trying to who knows what my job's going to be and I'm just trying to win and get in, period.
Well, it's interesting, too, from the standpoint of, like, Saros, I don't think, is going anywhere, right? Like, he's, number one, he's got a full no move, so he's got total control as to what happens here. But number two, like, you know, there's a new general manager coming in, and he's got, you know, a ton of time left on his contract. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, we've talked about this, I don't think it's going to be an easy contract to trade if the new general manager wants to trade it, which I have no idea if they will or not. But it's just interesting to me that let's say Onanen gets in there today and he plays well and they win again. Well, if that happens, you got to play him Thursday. So you will at that point have closed out the regular season, playing your backup goalie in three gotta-have-it games in a row, and who knows whether or not they end up making the playoffs out of that. But let's say they don't. Let's say they win all three Let's say Anaheim gets a point tonight against Minnesota where you can't pass – or tomorrow against Minnesota where you can't pass them, and they win all these games. You're going to, at that point, have your backup goalie come in there and just win all three games to close out the year? Like, what's the talking point on that going to be heading into the offseason?
What if they get in?
Well
– what if the exact same thing happens and they get in the playoffs?
Who are you starting game one? Like, exactly.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't want to read too much into one game, right? You know, they're coming off a road trip. It was, you know, less than 48 hours after they had played in Utah. But it's a gotta-have-it game that your backup goaltender comes in there for the second time in a week and is just absolute nails in net for you. I just thought it was very interesting, that decision.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, obviously – whatever happens tonight, that could change what you would do the next game. But
sure.
I think you have to let the guy change your mind.
So we'll take your thoughts on that. UC Saros did not play on Saturday. Eustace Onanen came in. He gave up one goal. He's playing really well for the Nashville Predators right now. What do you think will happen tonight in net for the Predators? What do you think should happen? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Bruno, you had some big decisions today, and you went with Eustace Onanen and net. Can you take us through, you know, what was the process in that, and how excited were you to see how big he came up today?
Well, he's been playing exceptional. I mean, both guys have, really, since the break. I think all the underlying numbers are pretty remarkable. And they've kind of kept us in this fight. So he played really well coming back from a trip, and, you know, we thought we'd go with the hot hand.
As Andrew Burnett. We thought we'd go with a hot hand. It worked. He played well again.
Go with it again.
Go with it again, tonight, don't you?
I think so.
Man.
I mean, what, you know, Soros gets it. It's not the same situation, of course, because Soros was the heir apparent. But, you know, there was a transition period, too, where he was starting to get starts over Pecorini, and there was a question in the bubble series about, well, you really going to start Soros instead of Pecorini? Again, it's not the same situation, but you're just going with data. You're just going with who's playing better.
I mean, I hear you. Does he get it, though? I mean, he's signed a long-term contract where he's getting paid this money and he's the starting goalie. Like, if I'm him, I'm probably thinking, yeah, man, these are my games. Like, this is why I'm here. It's to play and win these games.
Well, I don't know, but I think – I mean, I would think that he would get it. I would think that he would get it because, you know, the guy – the other guy is just playing great. I mean, like you said, who would argue that Onanen's, you know, the one before Saturday was like the best.
That's clearly
game of the year for anybody in net for the Nashville Predators. I mean, it's, you know, and you know, Brunette said right there, and he's not wrong. Like, you know, they both played well since the break, but one of them is the hot hand. So. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, the
natural follow up tonight, though, be like if you don't go on and it's like, well, you just played the hot hand and now you're playing your starting goalie again. Like, what's happening?
Right?
Like, isn't he almost like, I don't want to say he's backed into a corner, but like if they play Soros tonight, if you're a Preds fan, are you like, huh? Like, you just talked about playing the hot hand. He won another game. Don't you have to do it again tonight for the Preds?
If you say we decided to go with the hot hand, okay. And then the hand stayed hot.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
Exactly.
It's simple. I don't think it's – I think it's simple, man.
I will say, morning skate in the National Hockey League has largely become useless. Like, it's a rough time.
But you're excited for it today.
And when you're doing, you know, 40-some-odd of them a year, it's like, all right, let's just trot on over there for another morning skate. I am very interested in today's morning skate. I really am. Like, when they get out there – assuming that they go through some full routine, which I don't think they practiced yesterday, so they probably will. Like, I am very interested to see who's in that starter's crease this morning. Like, that'd be the number one thing I'm looking at is, all right, which goalie we got out there in the starter's crease?
Yeah, it's – I mean, I suppose if you go Soros, it's like, well, we rode the hot hand, and he got us to this point, and now you reset every game and you say, okay, we're going with the franchise goal. I mean, I guess that's the explanation, but I wouldn't do it. I'd go with the hot hand, who two straight games has been that at a high level.
J-Dub in Kingston Springs says, ride the hot hand no matter who you're taking time from. The team is bigger than the individual, and momentum is real. Y'all remember when Deontay Foreman should have gotten every touch over Derrick Henry against the Bengals in the playoff game? I do.
Interesting. I remember Deontay Foreman had one big run in that game, and neither of them did anything else much beyond that.
I did not.
That's how I remember it, but.
I did not anticipate Deontay Foreman coming up.
Yes. How about that? I don't know. That's interesting. But no, Lance says play the hot goalie, plus it'll light a fire under Soros' butt. Worst case in the next year. Yeah. I don't know that that's, again, if Soros struggles or, you know, decline in numbers has to do with him like not working or wanting it. I'd be very surprised if that were the case.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
I don't think that's the. Now, you know, he can't change his size. He can't change Father Time, right? So those things are real. I don't know that he needs a fire lit.
Well, to your point, though, like this is it's all of a sudden become a pretty fascinating scenario because if you don't start on in it tonight, I think you're kind of sending mixed messages, right? It's like, okay, well, you just had the hot hand. He's played unbelievably well for you the last two games. And again, like I do want to be clear. The Anaheim game and Saturday against Minnesota are not the same thing. They're two very different things. Like, I think Minnesota had like 11 shots on goal through the first two periods in the game on Saturday. So it wasn't like Onanen was putting on a show
like he did
on
the game
Saturday.
Before.
Now, he had to make some big saves and big moments in the third period because Minnesota was better than the Predators were in the third period. And that game got to 2-1 pretty quickly, and he had to make some big saves down the stretch, and he did. So that deserves to be pointed out. I mean, the Anaheim game was kind of its own thing last week. But if you don't go that way and Soros is in there tonight and they lose, oh boy. Like, that's going to – not that you make decisions on that, but it's just going to be loud. Like, your fan base is going to be like, what are you doing? You just talked about having the hot hand there, and then you go back to Soros and you lose the game? Like, I just think that Brunette is in a really interesting spot with this right now, because what happens if they do win these next two and they get in? Are you going to go, all right, well, we just played your backup goaltender three games in a row that we knew we absolutely had to have. He won all three of them. And then we get around to game one of the playoffs against Colorado, and it's like, all right, UC Soros back in the net. Like, it's, you know, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but it's all of this is within the structure of reality at the moment.
We'll see how it goes. Now, I guess you could think of it, if you think about it in those terms, that might be a reason to be like, okay, so give Soros another chance here. Because you might still be sitting here and be like, okay, who gives you the best chance of beating Colorado series? I would still argue that UC Soros does, because his highest level of being able to steal a game, which you would need multiple times probably in that series, is still higher than Onanen, right? So
yes.
If you look at it from that perspective, then you kind of are backed into a corner if you actually like just go big juice all week, get in. Like, how do you switch from there?
You want to know my official prediction for what's going to happen tonight? UC Soros is going to start this game.
Think so?
That's my official prediction. Yeah. And we've just gone through all the reasons why I think that that's very interesting. But my guess is when I walk out there to the arena this morning and I walk through the concourse there and I look out there and look at the starters crease, it's probably going to be UC Soros in there is my official guess.
Yeah, I won't be shocked if you're right. But then, again, then you get into the – okay, so you rode the hot hand. The hot hand vindicated you riding the hot hand, and then you said, hot hand, sit down.
Yeah.
We're good. Like, you know, if you're an incoming GM to this job, what would impress you more in terms of Andrew Brunette handling this situation at the end? If there is some, there even is an answer.
I don't know. I mean, look, if you're Andrew Brunette, I think the only thing that needs to be on your mind right now is what do I have to do to win tonight's game?
Right.
Like, that's the only thing that needs to be on your mind right now. Because there's so much beyond that that is so up in the air. Like, you know, if they end up missing the playoffs here, you got a new general manager coming in. I have no idea what that's going to mean for Andrew Brunette. I mean, conventional wisdom would tell me, you know, if it's a normal process like most of the NHL goes through, that there's probably another coach, right? Like, we talked about that at the time. So, like, if you're Andrew Brunette, I think it's hard. Like, it's hard for me if I'm Andrew Brunette to care about the long-term goaltending future of the Nashville Predators when I don't know that I'm going to be here beyond two games, right? It's like, so, like, right now, like, if you're Brunette, I think it's, what do I do? What do I feel like the best chance is to win right now, like tonight's game? And then you worry about Thursday coming up on Thursday. So that part of it's interesting. It's just there's so much else that goes into it from your org. Because if you're an organization, like if you're Bill Haslam looking at this, not that he's, you know, making coaching decisions, but if you're Bill Haslam looking at this, it's like, well, we sure are paying this goalie a whole lot of money for him to not be playing in these must-win games right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But I think also, even from his perspective, right now, what matters? Find a way to win this game, right? So, no, I mean, I think it's simple, and yet I think that it's very easy to make it complicated and do what you think will happen.
I think here's my, you know, I mentioned my official prediction is Soros is in there today. And again, I don't know. I'm just guessing. My guess is when asked for the explanation for that, it will be, well, you're coming off the road trip in Utah. Soros played in that game. And then the game Saturday was less than 48 hours later, and we went with Onanen. And now that Soros has had some rest, they'll throw him back in there.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Don't lose.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Lots of your thoughts to get to on this. We'll continue the discussion. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. It is Reaction Monday, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Taking your thoughts on the Predators at 615-737-1025. Eustace Onanen in net on Saturday. Another good performance from him, and the Preds have another got-to-have-it game tonight. taking on the San Jose Sharks. Taking your thoughts on all that.
Vingan's in the YouTube chat again. Do we need to scream at Vingan?
He is in the YouTube chat again.
Adam, there's got to be something around the homestead you can be doing right now. Now, someone mentioned that he was vindicated. He immediately, ears perked up and got into the... And he's like, vindicated on what? I think he called for... Didn't he call for them to start Big Juice last week? I think I heard that.
I believe that's
on
correct.
Their show. So yeah. I think that's what they're talking about. Vingan, you know! Now, I need to address Kurt.
Okay.
Or Kurt West in the YouTube chat. It says, based on what data, Saros is better in the playoffs? Well, one piece of data would be that Anen has never played in the playoffs because he's a backup goalie.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that Saros' playoff record is not sterling. He also has stood on his head. If you go back to that Carolina series, certainly did not have a good bubble series, didn't play in the Colorado series. And it's a limited sample size. It's not all bad. And, you know, the he's never won a playoff series thing. Again, like had they beaten Carolina, that would have been a pretty big upset. When they took him to six, and again, he was a big part of them taking him to six. So, there's a pretty big difference just in terms of one of them being a starting goalie who has, you know, has circled around the Vezina before, and one of them being a backup goalie who's hot hand right now and playing very well. So that's the data, that there is data for one of them and not for the other.
Cam says it's a lose-lose for Bruno. He starts Onanen, and we lose. Fans are not going to be happy. If he starts Saros and we lose, he made the wrong decision. That's from Cam on the text.
So if he wins, it'll be good, and if he loses, it'll be bad. I think that's true. It's not a lose-lose. To me, it's simple. I'm sorry, but it's simple. It's meritocracy just based on how things are going right now. Again, let's take it to – I mean, someone's yelled at me about how I like totally – missed that Deontay Foreman was an amazing player. It's crazy how he never did anything in the NFL before or since, but I know. No, nobody knows ball. But
there's so much Deontay Foreman talk tonight.
Who knew? Who knew we'd have a Deontay Foreman festival today? But this is, yeah, you could make the comparison of Brady Bledsoe if you wanted to, right? Now, granted, you know, Brady did a lot more than Onanen's doing now, but And of course, Bledsoe was hurt. But then
Eustace
later.
Eustace Onanen is Tom Brady. I know. Joe Rexrode, you heard it here first.
Saros is a combination of Drew Bledsoe and Derrick Henry. There we go. We've got it figured out.
By the way, Deontay Foreman in 2022 with the Carolina Panthers. 203 carries, 914 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Okay.
He just got the ball a lot that next year. And then. That was about all she wrote for Deontay Foreman after that. Played in Chicago and then Cleveland. That's it.
He did have a good carry in that game. But by the way, this person, J-Dub, who's telling me I need to do a college basketball show, says, I said, I covered all those games. Go cry somewhere. He said, we can have our riff, Joe. I'll still defend you as the last true sports journalist in this age of hot takes, but I will not let Deontay Foreman's ghost be disrespected. Okay. That's very dramatic of you.
Can we get back on how you compared Eustace Onanen to Tom Brady real quick?
I'm trying to change the subject, man.
That's what I'd really like.
Would you please help me change the subject?
That's what I'd really like to focus in on today. Look, I think the comments we played a couple segments ago, or maybe it was last segment, I can't remember, are interesting to me because Brunette, the way he phrases, like we rode the hot hand. It's like, well... Like, when your coach says it that way, it's like, well, if you rode the hot hand and the hand remained hot, I'm no genius, but that would tell me you just keep going tonight, right?
You don't dunk it in ice water.
Yeah.
So, you keep it going.
Like, he didn't to me sound like a coach that was just like hell-bent on Saros. Now, granted, like, he wasn't really asked about the next game and the immediate aftermath of that game, and maybe that's the fault of the media. Maybe we should have done a better job. At that point, I don't know what he would have said at that point, but you know, one of the things this morning, the tough part is we'll probably know the answer before the press conference. Maybe we'll see how the Predators decide to handle their morning skate this morning, but we'll probably know by the time Andrew Burnett speaks this morning who was in the starter's crease at the morning skate, right? Like, we'll probably understand who's going to be starting the game tonight. So, but let's say we don't. Let's say they run through some sort of optional today and
I don't know. Like, one of the things I'm going to ask Andrew Burnett is, like, so how are you weighing this decision tonight? Like, what goes into your decision-making process of who's going to play in goal for you tonight? Because I think the answer to that is very interesting.
Yeah. There's other stuff. There's opponent. There's matchup stuff, right, that you can dig in on.
Sure.
That may be significant enough to move the needle. But, yeah, it comes down to are you gonna go with right now the guy who's playing better, or do any of the big picture elements of the decision creep into the decision? Because I think if you don't let that happen, and as you said, it's just about winning one game, what information right now is telling you to go back to Soros? I mean, the information is telling you to stick with what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, the information to go back to Soros will be more related to pedigree and contract. Like, the who's playing better right now, I mean, it's Onan, right? I don't think it's – and it doesn't mean that Soros is playing bad, because Soros has played well since the Olympic break. But Onan is undoubtedly playing better right now. He just is. Now, the other part of this is – this will be the third time that they have played San Jose in the last, like, 3 weeks, and Soros started both of those games and won. So do you factor that in if you're Andrew Burnett?
Okay. Well, there is that. Jason Goodsville says, I've texted you guys a couple times. I have an Ananin problem.
Half the people in the organization.
Yeah. Too, so. Yeah. Actually, I'd love to hear, like, how Poyle would say his name. Anunin?
I have heard some of that.
Has developed enough for the Preds to deal Soros. More specifically, the bad contract when offer came. Onanen can play calm because of his size. Doesn't have to move as much. Yeah, that's all fine. Again, as you pointed out earlier, I mean, Soros does have the trade protection out. I think if there was he got to a point where they're going to move him, then he'd. It's like, this team wants you. By the way, you know, maybe this team might be winning more than, you know, for example, I think he'd probably waive it, right? I mean, I think a lot of these no movement clauses, it's basically like, if it gets to the point where, you know, it makes sense to trade someone, they get waived a lot.
That is true.
So we've moved on to trading Soros now.
Joe is
Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe, goodbye.
In this segment, Joe has traded Soros and has compared Onanen to Tom Brady. We'll take your reaction
and
to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up on the Preds. We will get into the NFL draft in the next hour as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.